integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis.
Can attitude affect health and healing? We're with an expert. After her third cancer diagnosis in 3 years, Lee Forston was given few options by her doctors and little hope for a bright future. After weeks of mourning of life, she thought she was losing, she was introduced to the idea that the power of her thoughts and emotions could positively influence the well-being of the 50 trillion cells in her body. Her book, Embrace, Release, Heal, An Empowering Guide to Talking About, Thinking About, and Treating Cancer. It is an absolute honor to have you on our show, and welcome.
Thank you. It is so great to be here. I'm so excited.
Lee, we are so thrilled to have you on. You are so wonderful, and your book really moved me. It was so incredible, and you're so open. And, you know, after going through the two regular rounds of everything conventional, what was it about alternative that really grabbed you? And when did you realize that this mind-body connection and looking at your emotions was so crucial?
Well, I'm a writer, and I had been writing articles and ghostwriting books about alternative health practices for many, many years. So it was really, when I did the conventional stuff, it really went counter to my belief system, even though I don't regret doing that because I did come to the point where I thought it was the best for me. But after the third diagnosis, I thought, well, you know, if these doctors are not sure that they can help me, then I have to figure out how to help myself. So I really went on this journey of looking for remarkable stories from people who had recovered from cancer. And I wanted to focus on their stories so that I could start believing that something like that could happen to me. And what I found, which was so remarkable, is that there's so many people out there who have remarkable stories, and many of their stories are about attitudinal changes and the mind-body relationship. And it was just mind-boggling to hear their stories and to start going deeper into my own psyche and realizing that things like forgiveness has incredible power, how visualization, which is really a mind-body technique, can heal people. There's one guy I wrote about in the book. He's one of my favorite stories because he was an atheist, so it's not like you have to have some kind of spiritual or religious foundation. He is an atheist, and he was basically told by his doctors after just countless rounds of radiation and chemo that it was over for him. And he went and talked to some guy that his hairdresser suggested he go see because he was just on his last leg and he was getting his last haircut. And she said, well, there's a spiritualist that I'd like you to see. And he was like, what's that? And she goes, just go see him. So the guy basically said, does anybody have the right to tell you when you're going to die?
Wow.
And this guy thought about it and he said, no. And so the fellow that he worked with said, okay, then what we're going to do is we're going to bring your power back to you. And he taught him how to do creative visualization. And since the fellow that I interviewed was so far gone, he was in a wheelchair, he couldn't do much. So he was able to just sit and for many hours a day visualize cleaning out the cancer cells in his body. Pretty soon he was able to walk again. And long story short, within 6 weeks he was cancer-free. And that
Wow.
was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And this guy has no spiritual or religious foundation, so it's not like you have to have a connection there. It's to me, it's what I call God's gift to everyone, whether you believe it or not. It's like this ability that we have. Now, that doesn't always happen. I always have to say that because ultimately, you know, we are the writers, the producers, the directors, and the actors in our own play, but we don't own the theater. And when
right.
the theater owns
oh, I love that saying.
The show is
wow.
over, then it doesn't matter how well you act or write or produce or direct. When the show's over, the show's over, and that's not our call. But in the course of writing our own plays, we have so much power and so much that we can bring to the table with our healing and using the power of our mind and the power of our creative ability. That's, to me, really what it's about, the creative genius that's within each of us. If we give ourselves to that, it can do great things. It's really something.
I mean, it also sounds too, Lee, this is Dr. Holly, when you frame it like that, even if somebody, even if this, you know, the theater closes, and it's not that that was a failure per se for any modality that was chosen. It's that journey of healing, even to the, you know, until lights out, that can actually be so therapeutic. And it's not like, hey, if you died, you've failed and you chose the wrong thing.
Right.
It's that being able to choose one is empowering. And then also being able to explore the process, especially when you get into deeper parts of yourself. And really, I think what life is all about, which is understanding constantly who you are.
Understanding who you are and who we are. I mean, I think a great deal of dis-ease is psychological and physical, is based and rooted in the idea that there's so much separation between us and each other, between us and God, between us and who we really are. There's just this, there's, you know, look, I'm still learning about it. You know, there's just so much that we are blinded to by going through life. And I think one of life's greatest gifts is, if we give ourselves to it, is the unfolding of that very thing you said. Who are we really? And is, you know, are we all plugged into one great energy source? And how can we, you know, kind of lift the veil of separation? And I mean, I'm not saying it's an easy task, and there's a million different ways to get there. But I agree with you that if, you know, really life, whether you live it for a day or for 100 years, is good when you free yourself from the shackles of separation, of all the things that come from fear, and when you start to realize that love is really the big player. Love is the big, big, big kahuna in our lives. And if we can find our way to love in any situation, then we are really living. That's when we're really living.
Lee, I want to take a second. EmbraceHealingCancer.com. That's Lee Forson's website. Also the book, Embrace, Release, Heal. Lee, one question for you. You talk about trusting your intuition. Do you find that that's one of the key steps for people to start to embrace more of this type of way of treating their illness, that they have to begin to trust that their intuition is a good thing? Do you find that's
the first thing? Yes, absolutely. But one of the first chapters in the book, and one of the first things I think people have to do, is trust their authority. So that when a doctor gives you a bad diagnosis or a bad prognosis, you can trust that that's not an absolute answer. You can trust the authority within you that there are other people you can talk to, that there may be other ways to heal. You have to be your biggest advocate, your greatest authority on your journey through this, through anything, really, when you think about it, through anything. You have to answer to you. And part of that is starting to get in touch with your higher self, and what that means is your intuitive self. It's not necessarily easy to do for a lot of us. I know myself, I know enough about it now so that I can trick myself. My brain, my left side brain, my ego-based brain is constantly going, oh, that must be intuition. And I'm going, wait a second, intuition. I was just writing about it the other day, and I was going, the difference between intuition and that left brain thing that wants to be in control is that you hear it differently, you feel it differently. Intuition is more like water, and thoughts, left brain stuff, are more like metal. You know, there's just a difference.
Lee, I appreciate that so much. And just, we have a couple seconds left, and I wanted to offer this. I've caught myself in saying the whole, oh my G, or, you know, OMG, I should say, or oh my God. I have changed it, even in my iPhone shortcut, to oh my goodness. Or when I say thank God, I say thank goodness. And when I'm doing that, I'm talking about the goodness, my own higher goodness. Can I tap into that instead of that external locus of control? But thank you all so much. Stay tuned. We are going to be right back.